Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Continuing with the chapter on the prohibition of backbiting, prohibition of ghibat, and protecting one's tongue. As we were explaining, that this tongue that Allah Ta'ala has given us is a very, very valuable commodity, very, very valuable asset that Allah Ta'ala has given us, this beautiful tongue. And it can be a means of a person earning one's jannat, or it can be a means of a person being flung into the fire of Jahannam. The correct usage of the tongue can earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the misuse of the tongue can be a means of causing a person to get the displeasure of Allah ta'ala and be entered into the fire of Jahannam. So this tongue is something that all the time has to be carefully considered. Carefully a person should take control. Carefully a person should be aware of what he says. It shouldn't be such that in emotion a person just blurts out things. Sometimes a person may be upset about something. I mean, he just blurts out something and later he regrets. So therefore, when a person is upset, then the best thing to do at that time is to remain silent. It's for something known as a cooling off period. Person is upset about some issue, some matter. Better thing for him to do is cool off. Once he cools off, he gives it some thought, he considers the matter, then now he engages in discussion. Not at the time when he's upset. The person is upset and he can make irrational decisions. We can say irrational things. We did one hadith previously. Every morning, the limbs of the body implore the tongue. Literally implore. They beg the tongue that if you are straight, then we will remain straight. And if you are deviated, then we also will be deviated. So this is the words of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not a fairy tale to say that every limb of the body is actually imploring the tongue that you remain straight. And then another hadith for us that we did previously, for us to remember, is this tongue is such a thing that, or under the explanation of the hadith we did this, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi has listed 20 gunas that just emanate from the tongue because of the misuse of the tongue. And then under that he explained, jirmuhu sagheer wa jirmuhu kabir. This tongue that Allah Ta'ala has given us, its weight is very, very light. Very light. But the effects and the harm of the tongue, that is very, very severe. So therefore, at all times, we must be very conscious of what we do. Many hadiths we did, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam literally put his hand in his mouth, he took out his tongue, put his hand onto his tongue, and he explained, "Kuffa alayka hadha," take control of this. Take control of this. Look after this. That is not there just to some show and tell. It is there to impress upon us that this tongue is something that we've got to be very, very careful of. So anyway, moving on, today's hadith, an Abi Bakrata radiallahu ta'ala an, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala fi khutbatihi yawm al-nahri biminan fi hajjatil wada' inna dima'akum wa amwalakum wa a'radakum haramun alaykum ka hurmati yawmikum hadha fi shahrikum hadha في بلدكم هذا على البلغت متفق عليه. And Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه narrated, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said in his sermon on the day of sacrifice, on the day يوم النحر is the tent of Zulhijjah, in the Hajjis or the Hujjaj in Mina. So it's the day of Eid. So when the Hujjaj in Mina is known as يوم النحر, so this is what this hadith is speaking about. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave a sermon on that day, on the day of Nahr, on the day of Eid, the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing his Hajj. So here Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in his sermon, this was Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam's farewell Hajj. This was his Hajj, his only Hajj and his last Hajj that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. So these were the advices that he was giving. On that occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in his sermon on day of sacrifice at Mina, during the farewell Hajj, that your blood, your property, and your honor are sacred, like the sanctity of this day. In this month, in Zulhijjah, on the occasion of Hajj, in Mina, it was the day of Eid. And imagine, multiple layers of honor for that particular day, of respect for that day, and here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is explaining that your blood, your property, your honor are sacred, like the sanctity of this day in this month. in the city. Listen, have I conveyed to you? This is to impress. Allah al-Ballagh. Listen, did I convey to you? In other words, did you get the message what I'm telling you? This is something that is very serious. Now we're talking about the respect and honor of a person that is linked to ghibat, the prohibition of ghibat. So therefore Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayh has brought this hadith here. So this is the link between this hadith and ghibat, backbiting someone. Just as Makkah Mukarramah, Dhul-Hijjah and the day of Eid are honored and sanctified, so too are the lives, wealth and honor of Muslims. In fact, the honor and respect of a believer is even more sanctified. The honor and respect of a believer is even more sanctified than the Makkah Mukarramah, than Dhul-Hijjah and the day of Eid. So once Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma looked towards the Kaaba and he said, how great are you? How great is your sanctity? However, the sanctity of a believer is greater than you in the sight of Allah. The sanctity of a believer is greater than you in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. In other words, if a person won't speak bad about the Kaaba Sharif, he won't unnecessarily speak anything. So therefore, he should not unnecessarily speak anything about his brother, because the sanctity, the respect of his brother is even more than the Kaaba Sharif. So therefore, unnecessarily, he won't say anything against his brother, like how he won't say anything against the Kaaba Sharif. And we will get offended if somebody says something against Kaaba Sharif. But remember, the honor of your brother is even more than that. So therefore, unnecessarily, a person shouldn't be saying anything that will attack and that will affect the honor of his brother. Allah Ta'ala prohibited murder and physical violence so that the lives of Muslims are protected. He prohibited robbery and misappropriation, that is, stealing, so that properties of Muslims are protected. He prohibited backbiting, slander, and vulgar language, so that the honor of Muslims are protected. Look how Allah Ta'ala has protected a Muslim in so many ways. He prohibited murder, prohibited violence, he prohibited robbery, he prohibited misappropriation, where a person just takes away something from somebody unlawfully. Allah Ta'ala even prohibited backbiting and he prohibited vulgar language to protect the honor of a Muslim. So therefore, this tongue is something that can be abused in this manner by backbiting, slandering, vulgar language. And sometimes a person doesn't even consider this to be a guna. Allah Ta'ala protect us. And here we see how serious it is. The person is actually taking away the right of his brother, and he's slandering and he's taking away the honor of his brother. Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that occasion, he told Sahaba after mentioning this, that Allah al-Ballagh, have I not conveyed to you? So when we get this message also, what answer will we have to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah if we misuse this tongue when we have been conveyed the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? May Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.